So that was Twisted Logic by Coldplay, and yeah, it's pretty twisted logic, all this nuclear energy debate. And I was just having a little look here in the Herald, which has had a bit of mixed coverage about it all in the last few weeks. And I'll just read you a little bit here. Recent Labor polling shows about two-thirds of voters reject nuclear power as the answer to global warming, while more than 90% want the government to pursue renewable alternatives such as solar and wind energy. So is Howard's nuclear policy a bomb, as the Greens leader Bob Brown believes? Howard is acutely aware of Australia's love of solar panels, which is why the $4,000 rebate on their installation will be retained and probably increased in next week's budget. But Howard believes he can wedge Labor on global warming. Each time Rudd raises it, Howard will default to the nuclear debate, arguing, as he did on Channel 9's Sunday program, that renewable energy cannot provide baseload for Australia. There are only two ways that you can run power stations, generate baseload power in this country. You can do it on fossil fuel or with nuclear power, Mr. Howard said. Here is the cleft stick. Both leaders know we cannot burn coal at home and export it indefinitely without the help of clean coal technology to eliminate its greenhouse emissions. But few believe clean coal will be commercially available before 2020, and when it is, it will drive the cost of coal-fired electricity way up. In short, it's no miracle cure. Howard is presenting a radical alternative that will divert both the debate and taxpayers' dollars into examining the hugely expensive and politically dicey nuclear alternative. But his new enthusiasm for nuclear power appears to be driven more from the White House than your house. Surprise, surprise. In January, the Bush administration launched its Global Nuclear Energy Partnership after extensive discussions with its allies. Its hope is to make the US a major beneficiary of a US $1 trillion, which is Australian $1.2 trillion, plan to build nuclear reactors worldwide as energy demand grows, along with fears of greenhouse gas emissions from coal. As a result, US energy regulator put it, it has a certain intellectual appeal until you think about how it would work and what it would cost. So the phone interrupted me on my rave from the Herald with Marianne Wilkinson on nuclear power and, yeah, on the New World Order. Just was reading out about the US hoping to make itself a major beneficiary of a US $1 trillion plan to build nuclear reactors worldwide as energy demand grows. So where was I up to? I guess I was up to John Howard's part in this deal. As a former US energy regulator put it, it has a certain intellectual appeal until you think about how it would work and what it would cost. On Thursday, shortly before Howard announced his nuclear plans, President George Bush and the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe agreed on a joint nuclear action plan in New York. Abe has signed a nuclear power assistance program with China not long before. All four governments will push the nuclear agenda at the APEC summit hosted by Howard in September, shortly before the election. This will allow him to present his nuclear vision as vital at home, in step with our trading partners, and a fabulous opportunity to export uranium. But whether Australia will buy this vision of a nuclear future driven from Washington when presented with the alternative is a big gamble for the Prime Minister. So yeah, I guess it's talking about the New World Order there. Australia, America, Japan and China making uranium and nuclear energy deals. Maybe part of it is for nuclear reactors built cheaply in Argentina to be, by American multinational companies, to be shipped over here, like the Opal reactor at Lucas Heights, which was made in Argentina, which is already got problems. It's got water leaks within a central area. Remains to be seen. So there's another good article in the Herald about it all, which I'll read you in a minute. NIM FM 102.3. Good ad in here in the Herald. OPSM, cluttered vision, see clearer again with a pair of Howards. Howards have changed lives. Howards have a unique ionizing lens to filter out anything negative or difficult. You only see what you want to see when it suits you. And it's like a little advertorial here called True Fictions. My wife used to complain about me waking up and worrying all night. She told me to buy a pair of Howards. They made the solution so obvious. I dumped the wife and shacked up with my son's girlfriend. Now, nothing worries me anymore and I sleep like a log. I used to have terrible trouble making sense of the world, particularly when driving. Then a friend recommended Howards. Now I just run things over. So that's a funny little advertorial they have here in the Herald. And I'm going to play a track from Sting for you, Fragile. And it's coming up to, well, 2 o'clock in here, say different times, 23 to 10 on that one and 9:31 on the other. MFM. So I'm just going to read a bit from the Herald here again. Labor falls in line to skirt fallout over uranium shift. And this is written by Philip Curry in a column called Point of Order. If the measure of an intelligent mind is its ability to deal with contradiction, then there was genius aplenty at and around the Labor National Conference over the weekend. And no more so than on the issue of uranium mining, which, in what must have been an unprecedented event for any political party, became a battle not to have the numbers. Kevin Rudd, much of the party's right, and a few from the left, wanted to abolish the decades-old policy that forbade a Labor government of either state or federal persuasion to approve any new uranium mines. Trouble loomed when more than a handful of delegates from the right intended to side with the left and retain the policy. In the days and hours leading up to the debate, there were an estimated 220 votes against abolishing the policy. It was clear to the observer that had the matter been decided by party clapometer, the abolitionists would have lost. Clearly, Rudd and his co-sponsor, the South Australian Premier Mike Rann, could not be rolled so publicly, so both factions worked furiously to ensure that enough proxy delegates from the right took to the floor to vote like drones along factional lines and hand Rudd a 205-190 victory. Wow, so that's 15 votes only has possibly changed the course of Australian history. The left, on the cusp of its first internal victory since man discovered fire, helped engineer its own defeat. To those who remember the uranium battles of old, it passed strange to witness Rann speaking passionately about abandoning the policy. His state already has the Roxby Downs monolith, which is an Olympic dam mine, and a virtual monopoly on uranium exports. Rann was driven by the knowledge that there is a lot more as yet untapped uranium in his state which could not be mined without the policy being abolished. ran as the nation's most popular premier. Almost 30 years ago, he launched his career as an ambitious staffer who led the Labor case against uranium mining. In 1982, when Labor opposed the proposal for Roxby Downs, he co-authored a booklet entitled Uranium, Play It Safe. It cited such concerns as no proven method of waste disposal, insufficient international safeguards to prevent the production of weapons, and the possibility of terrorists or a madcap dictator obtaining such a weapon. These were the same arguments used against him on Saturday by Anthony Albanese, Peter Garrett and all. Rann has long since conceded that he has changed his attitude, and he declared on Saturday that the policy he helped found had not worked and he became out of date, impractical and illogical. Still, he stopped Canberra from establishing a nuclear waste dump in his state. The Prime Minister, John Howard, never one to allow Labor to have three days of airtime, chimed in with his speech to launch Australia towards nuclear power and uranium enrichment. It was designed to make Labor still appear archaic on nuclear issues and make him appear the visionary realist regarding climate change. It was also a mighty risk, given no one wants a nuclear power station in their neighbourhood. Nonetheless, all in the coalition are now locked into the nuclear agenda, including the Finance and Administration Minister Nick Minchin. Minchin has no objection to uranium mining and nuclear power, but believes embracing the latter is political suicide. It makes no sense for our party to associate itself with a cause so politically unpopular when there is no prospect of a commercially and politically viable domestic industry in our lifetime, he wrote in 2005 electoral newspaper. Minchin learnt the pain of nuclear politics when, as industry minister, he tried to establish low and medium waste dumps in South Australia, his home state. How on earth can we reach a consensus on the site of and construction of a nuclear power station, the site to store the waste it would produce? Well, that's from the Herald, Point of Order, and it's just interesting. It says, it makes no sense for our party to associate itself with a cause so politically unpopular. So that, to me, is a bit of a clue. You have to make it known to politicians which of their policies are unpopular, and that can actually stop them, surprise, surprise. Even though people think that there's no point, unless you want to see nuclear power stations all over Australia and waste dumps and more mines, then don't say anything. But on the weekend, I will be showing films at Birth and Beyond, and it's called Earth First Films, and I'm going to have some David Bradbury films, Blowing in the Wind, which is really important to see at the moment because of the Talisman Sabre operation that's intended to start in June, and that outlines what that's all about and the whole thing with depleted uranium. And the other film which I am trying to negotiate to show is Hard Rain, which would be a bit of a premiere in Nimbin. It has been shown in its unfinished form at Blue Knob Hall the other week, and we're going to try and show that, and The Gathering, which is about the Whale Dreamers, and lots of local films, some from the 39 Hours, and some quirky films, and some films from actions in different places over the world, environmental actions from the past and that are going on now. So come along and have a look.
As I walk on the sand of my people's dream, I can feel the spirit of the winter tree. As the winter season takes her children, you'll leave her naked under the winter sky.
So that was Titus with Spirit of the Winter Trees. And it's coming up to 10 to 10, so I'm not here for much longer. It's a short, slightly scatty show today. A lot of phones ringing and people coming in and stuff. So I'm just going to read you just a little quote here from Amma. That's that little tiny Indian woman, Matra Anita Nandamaya, who is quite amazing. She goes around the world giving millions of people hugs and does a lot of charitable works in India. We may ask, are we human beings not too limited to bring a change to the destruction of Mother Earth? No, we are not. We have infinite power within us, but we are fast asleep and unaware of our strength. This power rises up when we awaken within. Spirituality is life's greatest secret. It enables us to awaken unlimited but dormant inner power. Earth cannot be changed for the better unless the consciousness of individuals is changed. And that was the smooth voice of Seal. He's got such an amazing voice, that guy. And that track was Crazy. So I'm finishing up soon, and Gail will be in shortly. And just noticed, I want to let you know that at Mardi Gras, there's a NIM FM stall, Munchies Cafe. It's going to be on the Town Hall veranda. And it says here, good food and all home Nimbin cooked, percolated coffee and tea, soups, dal, lasagna, veggie wraps, potato bake, nachos, pasta and fresh salads, and yummy cakes, and all proceeds go to the community radio station NIM FM. And of course, Judy will be working hard on that. So, yeah, the food's always really reasonably priced and delicious. And so if you want to get away from the thronging crowds, that would be a nice chilled out place to go. Of course, Peace Park will be entry by an armband, which I think is $30. Unless you want to do some volunteer work, I think it's 4 hours and 20 minutes, I read, for in exchange for an armband. So those that can't do that, there will be films, like I said before, I'm going to have In Birth and Beyond and a chill space in there, and we'll have films probably in the day and at night as well. So that'll be a nice mellow place to come, and also a place if you want to get a bit informed about what's happening with regard to the environment. And I'll just let you know again that there is this peace convergence coming up at Shoalwater Region from the 18th to the 24th of June, and this is in a non-violent gathering to make a statement about the Talisman Sabre joint US-Australian military exercise that is starting there June to July. And I'll have lots of information about that in Birth and Beyond over Mardi Gras, because I'm getting all the latest updates on that, and also probably have some great slides of Shoalwater and a film about a small island I've forgotten the name of, off the coast in South America, that has said no to US military testing, which is a victory film, so that will be a really good one to see. And it says here there will be a concert on June 16th in Fortitude Valley in Brisbane, and this will probably be updated in the next week. I'll tell you if these bands are still all playing. Blue King Brown, Josh Owen Band, The Herd, The Ghost Riders. I think Helen Caldicott will be speaking there, and a guy from ACF, Australian Conservation Foundation. So that will be great. I know a lot of local people are going up. I think the Chai Stall might be going up there as well. So I'll let you know more about that in the next few weeks. And I think I can hear the rustlings of Gail out there. She'll be on shortly. Yes. And I'm just going to put on one last track for you. This is Give Out But Don't Give Out Up by Primal Scream. Have a great week, and you've been listening to Adrian, and I'll see you at Mardi Gras.